In my old Hudson, I think it was called an Ellis. It was one of these things, or maybe it was a Model A, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's a very old clunker by faith that you would go down. And we'd drive 100 miles, in those days, a little over 2 hours, to Baylor. We got to Baylor, we'd meet with two men. I'd meet with one, Ross would meet with one for 1 hour. Then three other guys would show up. And so I'd meet with our five-man Bible class and group for maybe a little less than an hour. And then the others would go away, and Ross and I would meet with one of the other two, where we're spending individual time with four of these five guys, an hour of instruction. And we're meeting with them and talking with them. And every Sunday, we went back and forth there to begin to train them and to help them. And I think that somehow generations were laid that continued on. With these five men, one was Jack Patterson, who later became a missionary, one of our staff in Japan. And they contact others, individual, one-on-one. I think Jim Dykes, I think Jim White, I think there's John Ingoff, who was the chairman for the Southern Baptist in the field of Indonesia. And many, many other people sort of just seem to go off from that. The idea, you invest in a man, and you start him on the way, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Of course, the missionary principle, because of the missionary, that's all we can do. Invest in a man, pour out your life, and then see what God will do through that man that you train and through that guy that you develop. Well, I've been there a little over a year. September 1948, get a telephone call from Dawson Trotman. And Dawson says, Roy, this may surprise you, then it may again not, but I want you to leave what you're doing and go to China. How soon? Right away. So over the telephone, he wanted an answer. None of this, are you prayed up, or are you ready, or are you available, or something like this. Later on, he said that he had sounded out two or three other guys. I was not the first one chosen. But anyway, he called and said, sure. How quick can you come? Well, I got to tell my dad, I'm going to favorite son, I'm leaving the business, and tell my mother I'm leaving. Got to quit school. Turn over the navigator's work to my Timothy, Ross Jennings. So it took me 4 days. And 4 days later, I had done these things and was on my way by train to L.A. and then from there to catch the first boat to China. It's a slow boat to China. It was January before I finally reached the mission field there. When I got to China, well, on the way out, there was many testings. One of the testings, or one of the things, after I said yes to Doss so quickly, then I began to reflect, man, all this money, all this prestige, all of these things, why, $4,000 a month to begin with? Did you do the right thing? I was reading 2 Chronicles. You can't find anything in 2 Chronicles. Came to chapter 9. And then he said, and which the king had said, he'd given 100,000 talents to somebody to in order to buy an army to help him. He says, you don't have to do this. But what shall I do for the 100 talents I've given away? And the answer came, the Lord is able to do much more than this. Just an obscure verse, 2 Chronicles 25:9. But what shall I do for all this thing? What shall I do for my career? What shall I do for all my flying? Never mind. It was my desire to be one of the first missionary pilots. I gave 3 or 4 years of my life to become a missionary pilot. When I was in the Navy, I took every flight I could take. I was qualified for seaplanes. I was qualified for instruments. I was qualified for flight instructors. Anybody else didn't want to fly, I'd take their flight. I had more time than anybody in the fleet except the senior officer. And I heard about Missionary Aviation Fellowship. So I was a charter member of that. And so my goal was to be a missionary pilot and fly missionaries. And Mr. Trotman interfered and says, I don't think that's what God has for you. Just before I got the telephone call. I said, what do you mean? I don't think it's what. I think, maybe he wants you to not fly missionaries, but I guess he animated to be a missionary or something like that. What does this guy know? I was very stubborn. Just turn the clock back 1-6. In Long Beach, while I was still in the Long Beach Center, I had a contact I was working with called Wes Jensen, 220 pounds, high school senior football star. I was training him. So I was cutting up, and I was, we'd swam a whole mile around Long Beach, was very tired, came in with the Servicemen's Center, hardwood floor, and I'd do this with Cease Davidson, and we'd jump, we'd have a routine of tumbling. But Wes, football player, wasn't so smart. No, I don't mean that. Anyway, we got our signals mixed. I was standing on his shoulders. I went to jump off. He grabbed my ankles. And then I reached for our chandelier. He let go of my ankles. I turned to flip. I landed on the point of my right elbow. And I saw, stars, Saturn, Venus, all these things. Had a compound fracture, the bone sticking out. And that's the last time I ever flew. So, the Lord. And so I learned to listen to this guy. And when he said no, don't go, yes. When he said yes, go. I said, whoop, break my arm. Next time, break my neck. And so I went out. Probably somewhat on Dawson's faith. But I think that's all right in a way. Because he believed in me. Because he knew me in a sense better than I did. I asked him, Doss, do you think I can do it? I wouldn't ask you if I didn't think you could, But I had my own promises. 2 Chronicles 25. The Lord is able to do much more than this for you. He will restore this. And Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, went out, not knowing whether he went. So, ooh, that's Roy. Because my orders were, try to get to Shanghai, but the communists are coming. If you can't get to Shanghai, get to Canton. If you can't get to Canton, go to Hong Kong. And I talked to the missionary, I tried to put in for my passport. We will not give passports to missionaries going to China. Anyway, I got a passport. Well, let me just go to Hong Kong or some other place. And I went on this slow boat to China, got into Manila, and they had a consulate there, and I went and tried to get a visa into China. They wouldn't even look at me. No, you're an American. No Americans can go to China. I went to Hong Kong, and the ship we're on was sailing to Shanghai, and it's going to be in port only one day, and so I told the skipper, you reserve my place, I'm going to come back, I'm going to China. Of course, they laughed at me because they knew I was a Navy pilot or something, flying tigers. They joked at me, that's a one-way trip, you'll never get out if you go to China. So I tried to get a visa, and I went to the Hong Kong office, and I found the British are always exactly opposite from the Americans. At least the China consulate there. Can I get a visa? Sure, you can get a visa. Two pictures. I was so dumb, I didn't even have any pictures. So I went out on the streets of Hong Kong, and I went to a camera shop. 2 days, one day, 48 hours. But I got to get pictures now. So I remember standing on the streets of Hong Kong. Lord, send somebody to take my picture that can do it right away, that I can go and get this visa. This is way back when they don't have all as much stuff as we have now. Camera shops everywhere and all of this kind of modern equipment. So I prayed, Lord, send somebody. I looked up, maybe 5 minutes later, and I saw a guy with a hood over his shoulders, and he was taking pictures of tourists. He had a new kind of equipment that you can come and pose, and we can have your picture right away. In 15 minutes, it'll all be finished. So, take my picture. And he took my picture, and I rushed to the visa. I got it chopped. I came back. Was on my way to China. I've been in Hong Kong many, many, many times since. I've never again seen anybody on the street who was offering to take pictures. Well, one of those things, one of those little tokens from God that, yes, God is with you. Yes, God will bring you along. Yes, you can use your own faith. Yes, the Lord has something for you in China. Got about 7 minutes. Okay. I got to Shanghai and met by snafu. You know, always have snafus. You're not met by people you're supposed to be. But I found my way to the China Inland Mission. And a day later, Dr. Dick Hillis and David Morkin, the leaders of Youth for Christ at the time, they came to me and they gave me 800 decision slips. Says, you're the follow-up specialist. Follow up on these 800 decisions. I've been in China 2 days. Didn't know a word of Chinese. And that's your job. You follow up on these 800 people. A Shanghai crusade, the preacher was Dr. Andrew Chi and Dr. David Morkin. They co-preached and had these decisions for Christ in the very famous Moore Memorial Church in Shanghai across from the race course, one of the largest and biggest churches of Shanghai. So, well, I don't know any better. And I guess my indoctrination to be a missionary was about 2 or 3 days. And so I don't know what you can't do. Sure. Easy. Here, send out a letter, just like you did at Long Beach. Send out a letter to all these people. Tell them to come. We'll have a follow-up meeting. So they sent out 800 letters. 300 people showed up. Divide them into classes. We had the topical memory system there. We had some Bible studies there. We had our illustrations, the wheel and the hand and all of these things. We had a devotional life kit. And so we just took them through the things that I had taught in the service for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Things we'd taught in Dallas, Texas. The things we had taught in Long Beach. And I reasoned, if it's in the Word of God, it'll work in any culture, any country, any place, and it worked beautifully. The results were very, very good. And from then on, let me skip a couple of things I do want to say. We had the topical memory system in Chinese. Had a lot of trouble with it. Satan fought it. I believe once the plates were lost, another time there were the print shop burned down, and I'm not sure of all the details, but I know there are a lot and lots of trouble and all with these things. But finally, it was done, and some 5,000 courses. Doss had a big vision. 5,000. Topical memory system sets were transferred and transported into Shanghai, got in place already by the time I arrived. So the work had been done, and it's a matter of convincing people that they ought to memorize and do scripture. The Lord blessed. In 2 years I was in China, our records show that we got about 1,600 people into the topical memory system. By into it means they've done at least the first eight verses test, and they memorized eight and gone into the body of the work, and 1,600 people. We found out there were from 53 different cities of China, from 13 different provinces. We were helped by other missionaries. We were helped by other people, but mainly it was one-on-one. One person would get it, recommend to someone else, mainly among students and people like that. And we worked in four or five different universities using the key man system that we used in Dallas of getting contacts in these five or six universities. I had my home open. I prayed for seven, but God prayed in answer to my prayer, gave seven people that we called our key men that we kept touch with for years later, even after the situation changed. I've heard that God used the memory system. There came a time when every Bible was destroyed that was found. There came a time when every church was closed in all of China. There came a time when, during the Red Guard days, that high school students out of control would search the places and see if they could find any Christian literature or Christians and report them and burn them, or they'd go away into work camps or things like that. And I've heard many testimonies that it was a word of God in their heart, scripture memory. No, like it says in Jeremiah, but I said to the Lord, I will not make mention of your name or speak any more in behalf. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I could not stay. I had to witness. I had to give out the word. And I believe this was multiplied many times, not just the navigators, although we had many people helping. There's a whole Youth for Christ movement, and many there. But we've heard that the word of God in hearts and lives. You know, the first person to memorize all 108 verses, the Chinese, was not a student. Is a 69-year-old lady. And she said, and she wrote in, oh, I want to learn all these verses before I see Jesus. She's the first person, the most eager. And many, many other hearts. How can we estimate the power of the Word of God? Anybody's heart, anybody's life, when it gets in, it cannot get out. I mean, it cannot, other things cannot come. The Word of God must come out in one way or another, in the heart and their life. And so we feel that the Lord did help us in a very special way. With many wonderful co-workers, many wonderful people, many, many people helping. I was just sort of coordinating and supervising. But God's Word had free course. And God's Word got into 13 provinces, 53 cities that we know of, before I had to leave China. When Doss first asked me to leave, I wrote a letter and gave 19 reasons why I shouldn't go. Is my conviction that a serviceman should be willing to die for his country, and a missionary should be willing to die for his Lord. And I expected to die. The odds, Navy pilot, this and that, and people that were just doctors were put in prison or just had some connections. In fact, my squadron was called. I was ready reserve. I had orders, and I sent them out secretly that I couldn't join the squadron. My squadron was bombing the Chinese. But a call came from Doss. And he said, Roy, we really want you to come up. I said, Doss, is this a request or is this an order. He said, the gang last night or maybe the night before met almost all night in prayer. And we're of one heart and one mind that now's the time that you ought to come out of China. I said, yes, sir. So I put in my bid, and you had to get permission. You had to have your name published in the paper. It's published for 3 weeks. If you had anybody come against you, you know, they could accuse you, or you had any debts not paid, or any enemies, false witnesses of any kind, they could throw you in prison or what have you. I passed the test of the 3 days. And I was sent out through Shanghai by train to Qingdao and got a ship from Qingdao to Japan. And when I reached Japan, I found out that the war had broken out, that the Chinese had crossed the Yalu River and had entered actively into the conflict on behalf of North Koreans against our forces, and that U.S. and China were in open warfare against one another. Every missionary after I left was interrogated, was called, was forced to write his history page after page after page, what you do this year, 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 everything inspected, every page and line all the way through. I didn't have to do that, because somehow God had people praying, just the right time. I was there for 2 years. Just the right time. Now's the time to get out. And the Lord's perfect timing. Not a single one of those 1,600 people who were memorizing scripture or on our files were ever discovered by the Chinese or by the authorities. Not a single thing that we'd ever done, to my knowledge, was ever uncovered, was ever found out. Had we stayed, there might have been ways and means, I'm sure, that some of this would have come out. But God's timing, God sends in, God sends out, God leads, and that brings us to end of 1950 and the end of my testimony. In the next 40 years, my wife can give in 5 minutes. No, we'll give at the end of the time. Let's stand and sing a song. Do you know Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus, number 104? How many know Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus? Good. Okay, let's sing that. Number 104. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, who can compare with thee? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, fairer than all art thou to me. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, oh, how my soul loves thee, fairer than all the fairest, Jesus art thou to me. Let's sing it again. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, who can compare with thee? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, fairer than all art thou to me. Jesus, oh, how my soul loves thee, fairer than all the fairest, Jesus, art thou to me. I feel we ought to have prayer. Somebody lead us in prayer before we sit down, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art wonderful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer for China. Thank you for your prayer for us. All right, in the next few minutes, I think we have about 12, 15 minutes left, I want to look to the future, and I will give short of my analysis. I've been working on a missionary book. Trying to write a book on the early history of the Youth for Christ Navigators movement, in the middle of the book, and I've been writing it for 10 years, so I need a little to be able to finish it one way or another. But here's the way that I view history. Can you see this? A sweep of the missionary movement. There have been three great movements in modern missionary history. As I look at history and see it, 1792 is the date that William Carey went to India. And William Carey put a lot of opposition because some said, God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine. And William Carey said, no, there should be means. We have responsibility. And we must do our part. And incidentally, Isaiah 54, 1, 2, and 3, the same verses that Dawson and many missionary groups have used, was the verse that spoke to Carey's heart, and he wrote a paper on it. And he started a missionary agency. The main work was translation work. During the time of Carey's life, he had three companions, or three of them together, called the Serampore Triad, and together they translated the scriptures in 40 different languages. He established a denominational church, modeled, I suppose, somewhat after the English pattern, although Carey himself had some quite advanced indigenous ideas also. But this is just a quick sweep of William Carey and all the things that followed in the footsteps of William Carey, all the missionary agencies and denominational agencies and Southern Baptist and things like that, and then Wycliffe translators and others have majored on the part of translation work, continues to go on. But the push came from William Carey. The date we have is 1792. Hudson Taylor, 1861 is the date of the founding of the China Inland Mission, when the Lammermoor arrived, name of the ship, arrived in China with the first seven people that became a part of the China Inland Mission. Taylor himself had reached there about 10 years before that. Hudson Taylor had what we call a faith mission. All missions are faith, and it's not all that much different, but it had a few things that attracted people, and the fact that individuals would give themselves to go out and both trusting God for their finances and their needs. And he made great emphasis on the indigenous church. The indigenous church as his pattern. And this is a pattern pretty much followed when World War II came. Now, World War I did not affect America very much as far as missions concerned. We came out of World War I and glad to get home and had an isolationist viewpoint, and wars are in wars and don't get involved with anything. Very little missionary emphasis from America in World War I. But World War II was entirely different. In the 40s, God began to raise up a phenomena. I think Doss was one of the forerunners of it and founders, and older than the others, because he goes on into the 30s when the navigators. But it became momentum in the 40s. And men like Jim Rayburn, men like Bob Cook, men like the Youth for Christ leaders and others joined together. And God did a tremendous thing among the servicemen. Many of them went out from liberal churches. Many of them went out with the word of God not being honored. And somehow this idea that the Word of God is powerful and quick and practical, and we live it and learn it and live by it, was revolutionary. And these servicemen picked it up. And then from that came others that went in. Also the idea of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ and witnessing and expecting to get a decision for Christ. You say, you've always done this, haven't you? No, haven't always done it. Reading the Blue Jackets manual for the Navy, a gentleman and an officer does not argue politics and does not speak of religion. And that was a tradition. Very, very few until they came along. Was not done. This easy witness and evangelism was a very unusual and revolutionary thing. When the Navigators movement began, you can trace history, you can read books, you can read novels, you can read plays, you can see anything. You see no evidence of this kind of the layman and the individual burdened to win souls for Christ. Somehow it came alive, I think, in the 40s. And it's done by the American servicemen. I circle Youth for Christ as being, I think, the main historical force. Dawson being a little prior and having a good part in steering it to begin with. Bob Pierce, Troutman, Dick Hillis, David Markin, Billy Graham. They're all Youth for Christ people. They all founded other missions. And it took a different form called the parachurch movement. And we are a part of this. Amazing what happened after, in the late 40s, from 1945 to 1950. And General MacArthur asked for 10,000 people to come out. 10,000 missionaries. 4,000 came just to Japan in 5-year period. They didn't all stay. Had a lot of trouble. But many, many answered and went out. And something like 10,000 went out in a very short period of time, particularly into Japan, China. We're just talking about Asia. I don't know much about the other countries. And a swell of movement. Wheaton, Biola, 400, 500 people in a missionary prayer group, never heard of before. And God made a sweep of missions that had a dramatic impact on the next age. I don't think the golden age of missions was just from 1800 to 1950. I think the golden age of missions was more from 1950 to 1970, particularly, or throughout that period of time. Climatic changes gone. The Church of Jesus Christ established in every country of the world during this 20-year period. There's something like 15 or 20 nations that didn't have it before that. And tremendous things happened in that 25-year period from 1945 on. I think Ralph Winters has a book, something documenting some of these facts. Now we come to where a wave of opposition. We came to England had its skepticism, and USA went through its skepticism. We went through the Vietnam War. We had our values challenged and all kinds of other things. And we've entered a very critical period, I think, in the 80s, 70s and 80s and going into the 90s. And it's time to renew as the next generation, the third generation of the parachurch movement goes ahead. What should we do? Well, these were the thrust, mainly laymen. Very few seminary students find their way to the mission field. Some Bible school students, some ordained, most of them not ordained, mainly a layman's movement. We did evangelism for decision. And the dear China Inland Mission people, when they were there and Dave Markin would preach and get decisions for Christ, buzz, 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 talk, 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 talk. You don't get a decision. You start with Genesis. You preach for 6 months before you ask these people to make a decision. Bless their hearts. They were sincere. Difference of philosophy. You read Hudson Taylor, 12 missionary journeys, not one convert, as you read the history. It wasn't the idea. The witness, yes. The witness, the showing of Christ. But the Chinese can't do it. It takes 3 months, 6 months, education process, European missions, European philosophy, the American philosophy. Do it now! Well, there's some pros and cons on both sides, of course. But this instant evangelism, give the gospel now. Now get a decision for Christ, was revolutionary. And I was right in the spark of that. My life was to be sent from evangelistic crusade to evangelistic crusade in Asia, the biggest places, right there, right in the center of it, and do what we can to preserve the decisions and bring them to Christ. But it was different than historical missions in the past. The personal follow-up was different than historical missions in the past. We did things that were very simple. When Doss took his trip to China, they had all these decisions, 30,000 decisions in China in 1 year, just before the communists came in, and the missionaries were criticizing it. And, Doss a follow-up man, so they expect him to criticize it. And they said, oh, all these people coming, and oh, well, what are you going to do about it? Doss said, was you there? Did you help somebody? Did you come forward and try to at least get one? Whoa, no. They didn't think about it. Didn't even think about it. It wasn't the thing done in those days. Personal follow-up. We're so ingrained on it. We think everybody's always done it. It was hardly even thought about in those days. And discipleship, read theology. I don't think in any theological book, except I've one by Dr. Carroll from the Southern Baptist Mission in the 1900s, you'll find the word discipleship mentioned in any historical theology. Bill, check me on it or something. But in my cursory study, I've never come across in a standard theology the concept of discipleship. Means of grace, yes. Pray, give your money, don't go to prison, be a loyal church member. But discipleship is relatively new. And these are things that are a heritage. Don't hold them lightly. They're not the heritage of the church over the centuries, in a sense. God gave them to us in our generation. And I believe He wants us to preserve it and pass it on to the generation to come. My time is up. That clock keeps moving. And I was going to have you say, well, are there other things that you can think of and do and add to this? And maybe we'll have other sessions that you have where we can continue this. But Jim Downing says you have to close on time. And I want to introduce you these things to you. Dear fellow saints, let us prove all things. Let us hold fast that which is good. Let us not let go. And let us not let another generation come and our group of people die off like in the days of Joshua. And a whole generation died off, and there rose another generation that knew not the God of Joshua nor the miracles that He had done. And then the country went into confusion, backsliding, and so forth. Oh, dear friends, we have a legacy. We have a heritage. Let us see that it goes on. Somebody lead us in prayer. Jim, you lead us in prayer, please.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering our prayers and being in our midst to speak to us. Thank you for the things that we've heard tonight. Thank you for Roy's life. And we pray that we will heed this instruction and perpetuate these things to those who need it. In Jesus' name. Roy, didn't I hear you rehearsing a solo?
Oh, no. I just sit low solemnly. Not for tonight.
Among Roy's many gifts is
an accomplished vocalist. As I sit here,
if I do get 5 minutes grace, I'd like to fill this presumption.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I've got in mind here. First of all, how many people, as you sit here tonight, do you wish could have heard Roy's message? Well, fortunately, it's available. So it doesn't have to stop with us, but it's been taped. And I hope that every one of us will order one and wear it out. Maybe you better make a spare copy so when the master is worn out. Now, the second thing, the upgraded drinks and the snacks out in the kitchen, or the compliments of the kitchen, you don't have to put any money in any box, any place. Just help yourself. Now, the third thing, our schedule was based on the fact that we were going to sleep in and have breakfast at 8 o'clock. So I made up the schedule with the belief that I could probably get what I wanted, but when I handed it in, no, we eat at 7:30. So we have an hour and a half in there. Now, we need some catch-up. We want to hear from Phyllis, and we don't want to take any time from anybody already scheduled. So what I'm asking is the next two mornings that we show up at 8:45. We have an hour and a half from the time of breakfast, the first meeting, and use these two 15-minute periods for two or three things that otherwise would have to leave out. And if you want to come a little earlier on that, but please be on time. And let's utilize that extra 15 minutes so we'll add one more hour to our schedule, and we'll get everything done that we plan to do. Is that okay? That gives us an hour and 15 minutes from breakfast till we're over here sitting down. Now, let's see, Roy, that takes care of that. We want to hear from Phyllis. And I want you to hear from my wife. There's a request up there that she's singing the Beloved, so we'll do that. And also, there are two or three short segments of the videotape from the 88 conference that I want those of you who were not at the 88 conference to see. So we'll try to program into the catch-up time. Okay? And we won't add anything to tonight or tomorrow night, then, but get it in the morning. Yeah, that's another one of the catch-up things we're going to do. We want to play Lila's message to us, and I think midway in our conference would be okay for that. So any other things, you miscellaneous things, why, let me know, and we'll try to work them in those two 15-minute periods. Anything else anybody wants to say?